in its beginning and now seeing what the Lord has done. And we're rejoicing in that and looking forward to a great week. I have a riddle to start out the week. I just want to see how educated you are, really studied you are. So here's a riddle. We'll see if anybody can answer the riddle. When is Sunday school not really Sunday school? Debbie's looking at me and I know why. Yeah, I blew it, didn't I? I'm having too much fun with all these folks ahead of time and I just blew the riddle. Can't believe it. What a way to start, especially in front of my grandson. You know, it's just terrible to do this. But okay, here's the riddle. Now you probably will have the answer now. When is school not really school? When it's
Sunday.
See, that's what that. See, I blew it. Y'all knew that anyhow, right? Because school, usually you have assignments, you have homework, and you have quizzes. How many of you have ever been to school? So you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever had a pop quiz in school? How many of you have ever had a pop quiz in Sunday school? A couple of you. Well, you're all going to have a pop quiz today because in education, my doctorate's in education, and a lot of times you do pretest and post-test because you do pretest to find out what people already know so you don't have to teach them the things they already know. You have to teach them the things they don't know. So if you'll take out a half sheet of paper and y'all have a pen or pencil or crayon or something you can write with, everybody, some of you look at me shocked, like, are we really doing this? Yes, we're really doing this. And if you don't have a half sheet of paper, I notice Pastor has something in his hands back there. Pastor, are you prepared? Maybe some people could help Pastor. I mean, after all, we're here to do the work of the ministry. Pastors are just to train us. So somebody stand up and help Pastor pass out those half sheets of paper. Thank you. And so we can get those all out to everybody. And we're going to do a little quiz. And so how many questions do you have on the ideal quiz? How many questions do you have on the ideal quiz? Thank you, smart young man. What's your name?
Don.
You're right on top of it. He's sharp here. He gets it. 10. Now, why 10? Why is it always 10? It's a good number. Why is it a good number? So that's exactly right. So it's easy to figure the people's grades. Have you ever tried to figure 7? You know, now I'm a math major, so I can figure out 7, but you know, that can be difficult, you know, when you're trying to do 7. So when you get your sheet of paper, where do you put your name? Which side? Upper right-hand corner. I know some of you haven't been to school for a while, so we're taking you back to school. Upper right-hand corner. And now where do you put the numbers? Down the left side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right? Get them all down the left side. And we're going to have 10 little easy ones. And now, can I tell you, my wife encouraged me to give you bonuses. So you can thank Debbie for this, all right? So every question that I ask, there's an answer, and if you give a scriptural reference to your answer, because after all, we believe what we believe because what? Scripture. God says it. That settles it. I was saved reading the Bible when I was 18 years of age. And after I found out what the Bible said about salvation, I realized my parents hadn't taught me right, my church hadn't taught me right, nobody had taught me right. God taught me right through the Bible. And so I met my wife the same summer I was saved, and we started studying the Bible together. And that's how we've learned what to do in our personal lives, in our family lives, and even in our ministry life. I spent 7 years in the business world before I went into the ministry. And so to us, the Bible is the key. I would take a few amens right there. I don't know, maybe you're not an amen in congregation, so that's okay if you just shake your head or something, okay? But I'm just telling you, that settles it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, and even having grandsons that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe I'll have another one here tomorrow night, who's assistant pastor in Manhattan, Kansas, at Faith Baptist Church. He's talking about coming tomorrow night with our great grandchildren. Any great grandparents here besides us? Isn't it great? I mean, it's just amazing to see generation after generation serving the Lord. That's what God's word will do in the life of a person, the life of a family. And so that's what we're going to emphasize this week, is God's word. So bonus, you could get 10 bonus. You could actually have 20 points on a 10-point quiz if you put a verse with each one of them, thanks to my wife, Debbie. That's her idea, and she's a very generous lady. And Micah, you were supposed to say amen on that, because, you know, you've been a grandson. You know, you've seen some of her generosity. So, are you ready? Okay, number 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3. What three institutions were established by God? What three institutions were established by God? And so when you write them down, 1, 2, and 3, if you put a verse when they were established in the scripture, then you'll have 6 points, and we just got started. Three institutions established by God. What are they? I'm looking at this not to check my messages, but make sure I'm giving you the right questions. Oh, ladies, I'm sorry you're late. Do you know that we don't take any points off for being late, since this is your first time to be late and this is my first time to be here? But everybody noticed that you were late. I just want you to... you know why? This is the lady that was bugging me the whole time about all the details of this week. And so, yeah, this is my opportunity to get even. You know?
I'm getting into it wherever I go.
And I could tell she's a good sport just in the conversation I had ahead of time. I wouldn't have done this. I want you, because all of you are getting offended for her. I understand. So I just to, by the way, thanks again for keeping me in line. So, okay. Did you get the first three questions? Okay. Great. Okay. Number 4. Which one of those three was started first? Which one was the first one God established? Of the three that you gave, you said, I didn't get any of the three. Well, then you're in trouble. But hopefully some of you got 1, 2, or 3 of them. But what's the first, I guess the question would then be, what's the first institution that God established? And if you put chapter and verse, you actually get 2 points. But by the way, did I tell you this? This is an open book test. Do you know what that means? You can use your
Bible.
Yes, good job. So it's an open book test. So open your Bibles. You can use that as much. Of course, you know, he said only 45 minutes, so we're going to have to move. But you can flip quickly. Number 5. What is God's goal for every family member? What is God's goal for every family member? And you can say it in one word. One word. And I'm such a good sport, I'm going to give you a point. That some of you, if you have time, you might look it up. Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Now, all of you know Romans 8:28, right? We all memorize that because we need it. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. But verse 29 tells you God's goal for every one of us and why all these things are working together. And so there's a lot of other verses too, but I'm just, some of you need help, and so I'm trying to help you a little bit here. You can just write Romans 8:29 down. You at least got 1 point. Okay? 6 and 7. 6 and 7. You're going to see why I wanted you to get number 5, because if you don't get number 5, you're not going to get 6 or 7. 6 and 7 is, what two things must take place in a person's life for this goal to be accomplished? What two things must happen in a person's life for this goal to be accomplished? The goal that you put down for number 5, which you got from Romans 5:29, or Philippians 2:5, or Romans 13:14, whatever, wherever you want to go, a lot of different places. What two things must be accomplished for that ultimate goal to be accomplished? At least you're all participating. I don't see anybody staring at me and saying, I'm not going to do it. I mean, thank you. I mean, that's encouraging. I tell you, that sometimes people, bless me, I dare you. You can't make me do this, you know, but you're all being good sports about it and appreciate it. Number eight, which institution is responsible, ultimately responsible for training children toward this goal? Did I miss seven? Six and seven. There's two of them. Okay. What two things? So, yep, six and seven.
What
was eight again? Eight is which institution is ultimately responsible for training children toward this goal? And if you put government, I'm going to be really upset, okay? I just don't want to be upset at the beginning of the week, so please don't put down government. Even though, have you been hearing what they've been saying about our children? You know, it's sickening what's taking place.
Could you repeat the question, Pete?
Yes, which institution, you mentioned three in the very beginning. Oh, I just gave you the answer to one of them, didn't I? Because I said, don't put down government. Okay, well, I'll tell you. Okay, but which institution is ultimately responsible for training children toward that goal, the goal of number five? Number nine, what other institution should help with this training? Other institutions should help with this training. And number 10, who is the only teacher that can really accomplish this goal? Who is the only teacher who really can accomplish this goal? Okay, I'm going to give you all 10 of them again. Now remember, if you put a verse along with them, you get an extra credit. You get an extra bonus. So I'm going to add one time, and you know how teachers would say it, one time and one time only. Am I going to repeat these? Number 1 through 3, 1, 2, and 3, what three institutions were established by God? Number 4, which institution was established first? Number 5, what is God's goal for every family member? Romans 8:29 is a helpful verse. You can say it with one word, and I'll try to hopefully that one word will stick with you as you go through the rest of your life once we get finished. What two things must take place in a person's life for this goal to be accomplished? Two things that have to take place for this to be accomplished. Number 8, which institution is responsible, ultimately responsible for training children toward this goal? Number 9, what other institutions should help with this training? And number 10, who is the only teacher that can accomplish this goal? Who is the only teacher who can accomplish this goal? Okay, I'm going to give you a minute to put down any last thoughts or to guess or whatever you're going to do. So flip through your Bible and look for verses. Your goal is only, 10 is 100%. So, you know, you get... You know what's really good? I think this is the first time in a long time that I can remember that nobody's been talking. Now, it's kind of frustrating because I couldn't embarrass somebody and say, are you talking? Because everybody's just working. I mean, this is amazing. Because was she talking to you? Was she giving you answers? Confession is good for the soul, you know. Be sure your sin will find you out. Or somebody will tattle on you. That's what it is. I didn't see you talking, so, you know, you're okay. Ten, nine, eight, no pressure. Have you ever taken those time tests, you know, achievement tests, and you say, no pressure, I got to throw something down. All right, exchange your papers with somebody close by so we can grade them in class. Listen, these young people are doing it. No, you don't have to do that. I'm just seeing who would do it. Congratulations. You must be proud of those answers. You don't have to. Of course, some of you are just handing them to your spouse, and you've been married long enough that you know they'll be long-suffering. But this is really, sometimes, and you'll see this in education, but you can also see it in your Sunday school classes, having people think for themselves and then giving them the answers. How many of you remember things that you missed sometime along the way in a test or a quiz, you know, that all of a sudden you say, oh, yeah, I should. And so it's a good way to get going in discussion, too, and thinking things through, but also helps me to know, you know, where are you as an individual, or where are you as a church in the things that you already know and already have secure in your mind. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a participatory class. Do you know what that means? That means this is not a lecture class. This is a, you know, give and take, and I'm going to ask you to answer the questions. And it's hard to have a participatory class when nobody participates. Now, from what I've seen so far, there's not going to be any problem here in this church. I saw you participating even before the church service started, or the Sunday school started. So I'm very encouraged about that. But please do this: raise your hand and let me call on you. And I want you to know, I've been trained not to say it's a dumb answer. Any other teachers here? Any other teachers that studied education? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. We've learned how to say, well, that's a thought. You know, it's a wrong thought, but it's a thought. Or keep thinking. Okay. What, and somebody else, and you keep moving on, you know. But so I know I've already embarrassed you, so you probably don't trust me anymore. But I'm not going to embarrass you with an answer. I'll just try to pull more out of you. Who can tell me the three institutions that were established by God? Who has all three of them on your sheet, you think? Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, that's all right. Mrs. Post is going to do it. Go ahead.
I just put my hand real low.
Well, I saw it. I saw it because, you know, usually it's like a question and answer time, the first one to go. That's the first one to get. So, okay, what are they? Excellent! That wasn't just a thought, that was a right thought. How many of you got them right? Okay, Terry, can you give where that are found in Scripture?
No, I can't.
Who can? Anybody have some verses? Yes, ma'am. He's looking at her husband's paper. Oh, okay, you did swap. Thank you, Genesis 2:18. Excellent. We'll count that because Genesis 2 is fine. Anywhere in Genesis 2, because they don't, it wasn't good for man to be alone. And all the men said, amen. You better say amen. So Genesis chapter 2, what about government? 1 Samuel 8 is what I use. Now, some people will use Genesis 9 because of the capital punishment and needing a government, but clearly they wanted a king in 1 Samuel 8. And they asked for a king, and God gave them a king, and he told them all the things. Sometime go and read that and see what's happening before your very eyes, and you'll see the prophetic nature of what God said when they wanted a king. And what about the church? Acts chapter, thank you, Micah. Acts, you didn't raise your hand, though, I'm sorry, but I saw you. And I, shame on me, that was my mistake because I didn't make him raise his hand first. He's bashful and shy and probably wouldn't have raised his hand because he'd say, I'm here as a guest, but I called on you anyhow. So those are the places, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. Now, which all of us can answer this one, right? Which institution was established first? Everyone.
Family.
Do you see why it's important? Everything rises and falls on the family. That's the institution God established for all other institutions. Do you see why the devil is attacking the family? Do you see why we have people trying to control the children and saying they're not yours, parents, they're ours as the government? Do you see the battle that's raging all across our nation, all around the world, honestly? Parental rights. So very, very important because now you're not even going to know. They were just, you know, last week there was some legislation that people were trying to propose in a state to take away the rights of parents to know when their daughter was getting an abortion. We already have laws where you can't, you're not, teachers aren't supposed to tell their children when they're transgendering. I mean, it's crazy. By the way, just study Romans chapter 1, you'll see what's happening. We've rejected God, and God's given us over to a reprobate mind. We need to get back to God, but we need to get back to the family. And, of course, Genesis 2 again, first institution. So you put that down again, and you get another point. Okay, now, what is the goal for every family member? How many of you looked up Romans 8:29? Okay, can you give me, you can give it to me, but then we'll see if you can do it in one word, too. Conformed is a conformed to what?
To the image of Christ.
To the image of Christ. Perfect. Now, can I give it to you in one word? Does anybody else think they have the word? I hate to give it to you without some. We're to be Christ-like. Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's excellent. That counts. You don't have to do it in one word. I said you can do it in one word. The one word is Christ-likeness. God's goal for us is that we become like Christ. Philippians 2:5 that I gave you says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you know 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be. What's the word before that? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, let's define perfect. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, because one of the things you learn in Bible study is you interpret the Bible with the Bible. And sometimes that takes a little work, but you can do word studies and check out cross-references and all that. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the church and the work in the church. They gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That's verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And then it says, for the perfecting or equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, mature, full-grown man. That perfect, that word translated perfect, is the same one in 2 Timothy 3:17. So let's define it. God does it. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Christ-likeness. We are to be like Christ. I gave you Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We could go on and on and on with verses that talk about, you know, that if you're right here in Ephesians 4, looking at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. You know, we're to grow more like the master I would ever be. That's our goal. That's what we should be constantly working. And by the way, none of us have arrived. Amen? We're all still in the process. But we want to be growing, not backsliding. We want to be becoming more like the Savior, not less like the Savior. And that's what it's all about, is Christ-likeness. Now, who can tell me what two things must be accomplished in the life of a person if we're going to be able to develop Christ-likeness? There's two things. What two things must happen for somebody to be Christ-like? Yes, sir?
Repent and believe or accept.
Salvation. That's number one. You have to have salvation. You have to be evangelized. You have to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be like Christ till you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. Is that the end of it? Just salvation? What else has to take place? There's a lot of words you could use for this.
Commitment.
It's a good word.
Sanctification
is my favorite word. But you could use discipleship, you could use edification, and all that takes the commitment to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to be saved. That's the beginning. That's not the end. But John 17:17 says, sanctify them with the truth. Thy word is truth. Or you could use, 2 Peter 3 and verse 15, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's that growing process. It's that discipleship process. Sometimes the easy way for me to remember it is salvation and sanctification, two S's, or evangelism and edification, two E's. That's what has to take place. We have to get saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 8. John 3:16 is a good verse for salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So those are the two things that need to take place if we're going to become like Christ. We have to first of all know Christ, and then we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right, and who is the responsible party to make sure that that happens for children? Together? The home, the family, Deuteronomy 6:7, and Ephesians 6:4, Old Testament, New Testament. But can I share with you one other verse? Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, because I look in this congregation, and I see some other grandparents like me. Isn't it wonderful? It's just fabulous to be grandparents and to be able to watch them for a little bit and then send them home. How many of you had to live with your children all the time? I hope most of you did, right? But probably very few of you, if any, have to live with your grandchildren all the time. You get them and give them back and all that. But I just want to make sure that you understand that the Bible says something about grandparents too. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, and look what it says in verse 9. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. I gave you Deuteronomy 6:7, which talks about teaching them when you walk by the way, when they're sitting in your house, when you lie down, when you rise up. Are you all to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9? Here it says, thou shalt teach, well, let's start at the beginning. Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We still have a responsibility as grandparents to be involved in the training of our grandchildren, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so here's my admonition to you, and I'm giving it to you as my children would probably say it. Please help us, don't hurt us. You know, as grandparents, please help us, don't hurt us. In other words, help to train them the same way that our children want them to be trained, the same way, most importantly, God wants them to be trained. And I know surely in this room, some of you aren't happy with the way that your children are training your grandchildren. And so you can, as you have those opportunities, you can take those opportunities to be able to, in your household, to be able to help them understand some of the things that maybe even their parents don't help them to understand. And when they're with you, maybe take them to church, even if their parents won't take them to church, or like we've done for our nieces and nephews, is send them to a Christian camp. Even though our siblings, my wife and mine, weren't saved and didn't want them to go necessarily go to, but hey, we get them sent away for a week, hallelujah, we'll take it, you know. And we've had some come to know Christ because of sending them off to, and by the way, I have a camp I can recommend to you if you don't know about a good, what was the name of it again? I see this right, looking right at me. There's a lot of good ones, but Southland Christian Camp is one of those. And I know a lot of grandparents that are helping pay for Christian education for their grandchildren. Hallelujah. What a great investment. The only possession you can take with you to heaven is your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And so I just want you to realize that all of us should be learning how to be involved in the lives of children, even if our children are already grown, because guess what? You have children around this church too. You have children in the community. All of us need to understand that we have a responsibility, because not only does the family have a responsibility, but there's another institution that God has given responsibility to help in the process of raising children for the Lord Jesus Christ. And who are they? The church. I heard it. The church. And I take you back to, you just saw it in Ephesians chapter 4, that we're here in the church to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's not just the adult saints that we're trying to perfect. That's the children. That's the teenagers. That's everyone. We're all about, as a church, salvation and sanctification, evangelism and edification. So all of us are involved in this process of trying to help people become like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, last question. Who is the only teacher that can accomplish this goal? Who is the only teacher who can accomplish this goal? Who will raise their hand and answer that question? Yes, sir. Thank you. The Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is very important for us to understand. And I'll say more about it in the morning service as we really kick off the week. But I want you to look at this verse as we close Sunday school this morning, because we need to realize we can't do it. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect grandparent. There's no perfect Sunday school teacher. There's no perfect pastor. Have you all learned that? I'm not telling you something you don't know. We're all in the process. But we have a perfect God, a perfect Savior, a perfect Holy Spirit. And look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. Heaven is assured for believers. I mean, Lord Jesus, come quickly, as far as I'm concerned, and what we see in the world in which we live. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now when did we receive that Spirit? Salvation. Great. Excellent. At the time of salvation, the Holy Spirit came to indwell within us. For we know not the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that has to do the teaching. Without the Holy Spirit working, we're not accomplishing anything. But notice what it says in verse 14, and this will explain some people that you work with, or some people in your neighborhood. Or in our situation, some people that are in our extended family that have told us, don't witness to us anymore. Leave us alone. If you keep bugging us, we're not coming to the family get-togethers. I'm talking about our extended, my wife's side, my side, because we didn't have the background that many of you had growing up. As a matter of fact, I told Pastor, I found out McPherson is a Church of the Brethren college. I grew up in the Church of the Brethren, Country Church, Pine Creek Church of the Brethren, Northern Indiana. Never heard the gospel. Didn't even know that you could be saved. I thought that the way you got to heaven was by being good enough to go to heaven. You know, the big scale in the sky concept, you know, and my dad was pretty fierce, you know, and so I had the fear of going to hell and the fear of my dad who could send me there, you know, because... and so I was a pretty good kid, but not because of the Lord, because of fear. And then it was so wonderful. My older brother was the first one to get saved. He went to a college to play basketball, and his coach was a Christian and witnessed to him, and then he witnessed to me. And I just praise the Lord for how God has saved me and helped me to have a different type of family now, which is so rewarding to me. And I didn't have that, and I wanted that. And by God's grace, he's given it to us, and I pray that it'll continue. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. How many of you have relatives that it's foolishness to them, what you're going through? May I see your hand? How many of you have neighbors that it's foolishness? All of us do. How many of you have work associates say, oh man, there comes the preacher? You know, hey, that's a good testimony, but they don't understand it. And the reason they don't understand it is they don't have the Holy Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, nor they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually served. But look at verse 15. Would you all read this with me together in unison? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. If you're a spiritual-minded Christian, you will evaluate everything. We may come to different conclusions depending on where we are in our spiritual growth, but you ought to be willing to evaluate everything. Does this please the Lord? Does it not please the Lord? Is this something I should do or I shouldn't do? We that are Christians should be evaluating everything. And would Jesus do this? Would Jesus want me involved in this? You see, that's what it's all about, becoming more like Jesus. And so those that are spiritual, the way you're spiritual is when you're willing to evaluate everything. When, you know, and I know this happens sometimes because I've experienced it. Don't bother me. Let me live the way I want to live. Well, we're not supposed to live the way we want to live. We're supposed to live the way God wants us to live, according to his word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The man that lives according to the word of God. This man shall prosper and have good success when you do what the Bible says. So it's a loving thing to bug you a little bit about making sure that you're living what the Bible says. It's a loving thing for a pastor to step on your toes sometimes and make you think through some things that you maybe otherwise. And if you're spiritually minded, you'll say thank you. And hey, sometimes you disagree and say, ah, he's off on a rabbit's trail. That's between you and the Lord. Because you judge yourself. No man, you're not judged of any man. You're a priest yourself as a believer. But you're supposed to judge yourself. And if we'll judge ourselves, then we don't have to be judged by anybody else, because the Holy Spirit will do a work on you. Right? You've all been there, right? When whom the Lord loves, he... Been there, done that. I don't like it. You know, I need to learn my lessons a little quicker. But I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit is the key. And it's the Holy Spirit that wakes us up and teaches us all those things. And it's a growing process. I told our congregation in Kansas City, I think most of you know that I pastored almost 30 years, Tri-City Baptist Church in Kansas City. I said, I want us to be a straight-A church. Straight-A church. A number one, accept people where they are. In other words, when somebody comes to our church, I don't care what they look like, I don't care what they sound like, I don't care what they smell like or what they act like. Love them. Because where were you without Jesus Christ? The natural man. So accept people. And by the way, what I've seen, you're an accepting church. You know, I love the way it's all set up. I came in that side door, not this one over here. So man, poof, there's all of a sudden people everywhere. Wonderful. But maybe you have to do over here too some, because you don't know which way they're coming. So divide up and conquer, all right? But then number two, allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work. I didn't want my children to have my convictions. I wanted my children to have God's convictions. Now, when they're in my household, they had to live a certain way because I had responsibilities. But I wanted them to learn things from the Lord and from his word that would then have them to raise another generation for the Lord. And I have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring those convictions. I can't force those convictions on anybody. You can't either. So when they come, love them and allow the Holy Spirit to work as they take the Bible and apply it to their lives. And then the third one's the one that's really tough sometimes. Agree to disagree agreeably on a lot of applications, not on doctrine. If thus saith the Lord, that settles it. But there's a lot of application areas, especially when we talk about worldly, right? Don't be worldly. I just heard a podcast about not being worldly and worldliness. I think it was the two Micahs that did Friday, right? Is that? So these guys can tell you about it a little bit. You can listen to their podcasts too. But, who's going to determine what's worldly and what's not worldly? Every one of us has to determine that. And I can tell my kids what I think, but eventually they have to grow up and think for themselves. And so I allow the Holy Spirit to work, and then I have to agree to disagree agreeably. If all of a sudden, you know, they might wear something I don't think they ought to wear, they go somewhere I don't think they ought to go. I mean, as adults. In my household, I'm dealing with it. But it's been amazing how God has worked in my family to give them the convictions they have, not just with my children, but with my grandchildren. And, you know, we don't agree on everything, but we agree on most things. And, you know, God has a mind on these matters. And Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And all of us should be working toward that mindset of what is it that God wants me to do. And I would say, and I don't know how you handle it here, Pastor, so I hope I don't get you in trouble, but I would tell people in Kansas City, I'm daddy for the church. You may not agree with some of the standards we have for our young people and different things, but the deacons and I have to make those decisions, and we're daddy. We have to say, okay, as far as our activities, this will be allowed, this won't be allowed. But what families do, we had to agree to disagree agreeably. Because some families would say, you know, that we don't agree with that. That's fine. Just search the scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit direct. And it's amazing how we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, grade your own paper. See how many you got right. And you can tell it to your spouse if you want to, or you don't have to tell anybody. But I can tell just from this Sunday school hour, we're going to have a great week as we deal with the family from this perspective. What does the Bible say? And I'm looking forward to getting to know you and looking forward to having time to answer questions along the way. I'm glad to have the Southland Music Team here because music is an important part as in this whole process of teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So I'm glad they're here and glad they brought some CDs along that you can take home with you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time in Sunday school, and thank you for the participation of these folks. Help us to learn your word and apply your word, and may we become more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.